You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are now listening to the Ride or Crash podcast.
The great thing about this room is that you can hear every squeak in all of these things that we do. So if we're moving,
that's
like
what
this,
I was wondering.
Yeah, and also like this.
I won't do that.
We can do anything you want.
Really trying to make a statement. Start pounding.
All right.
Yeah, half of our podcast, literally, like us putting coffee cool down, is in every 10 seconds of it.
Yeah. So, did you guys get coffee?
It's just part of our aesthetic now. No?
We drank a lot of coffee this morning.
Good.
When did you get in?
Last night. Last night.
Did you guys fly in also?
No, we live in Echo Park.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's Doves. He's in Goth Boy Click.
Okay.
So nice.
Wait, did you produce his new song?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Hell yeah.
He's so good. But I stay with him every time I'm here. Cause
amazing.
They have a really nice place in there. Just my people.
Hospitable guests.
Yeah, like they'd be like my friends in Pennsylvania if I didn't know them.
That's awesome.
Music. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So we are here. Welcome.
We are here.
Okay, so we never do the right way. We never intro this the right way ever at all.
That's kind of the beauty of it.
Yeah,
we just talk about random things. And
so we're here with Wiccafaze Springs Eternal. Do you want to, let me ask you this. Do you want me to call you anyone? What do you want me to call you?
You can call me whatever you want. You can call me Wiccafaze Springs Eternal, Adam. It doesn't matter.
You don't mind? Like, well, you don't prefer one thing?
No. If it's, like, on a flyer, I prefer Wiccafaze Springs Eternal. But if you're talking to me in person, you can call me whatever you want.
Really? Like, because I'm sure a lot of fans probably call you Wiccafaze and Wicca. But, like, do your friends call you Wicca or Adam?
Adam.
Yeah. Nice. I always wonder that. When people get, like, super big, if their friends just, like, know them as, like, what they always were, or they start calling them by, like, their artist name.
I'm not super big yet. So.
I don't know. I feel like you will be, though. I feel like this is your year.
Thank you.
I think it's...
It's your year, and it's literally ending soon, so I'm just kidding.
You have the rest of 2017.
Yeah.
You've got, like, a month
okay.
to make it your year.
So I know we introduced ourselves, but me and Morgan started Emo Night with our other friend TJ. So we're really fucking excited to have you at Emo Night Day tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
It's going to be crazy.
Thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing this podcast, and thank you for coming down and being so awesome about everything. It's our first time doing something like this. So logistically, it's just all new. It's all like a brand new thing. We didn't plan to do any of this. So having everybody like on board and like people like that we really like you and a lot of the other bands that are playing has really been like a, it shows like, I feel like a real testament to the, like a music scene that everybody's like, we'll do this for like not a lot of money, you know, which is really nice. Cause we don't have that, but we want everybody to like have a great time. So I don't know. It's been a process getting this together, but we're really grateful to have you here.
No, thank you. I'm excited to be here and really honored to be playing it. Like I could not have guessed that I would be booked for this or anything like that.
Really?
So, yeah.
You know, we had like a while ago, we had some of your guys' friends. We had Horsehead and Coldheart DJ upstairs at like the, in the, we have like four stages at the Echoplex. Mm. And like one of them is, we did like me and my ex-girlfriend did like a little separate like flyer for them. So she like ran the upstairs stage with all those guys. And they're, the thing about that you guys is that you're all really, really, really nice. Is different than a lot of, because when you think of people in like in bands or artists, you're like they're really standoffish. They get talked to a lot. You guys are all so nice. Because I asked Adam and Romo, I was like, what should we talk about? Like, what should we talk like last night? You know, because you know them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Adam's been doing our night for ages, and I was like, what the fuck should we talk about? And he's like, ask him why he's so fucking nice.
So do you have some tips for people who aren't nice?
Yeah, never stop apologizing for everything. I apologize for everything. Like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry if I, like, I don't know, if there's, like, if I'm paying for a coffee and someone, if there's, like, an awkward exchange of money, I'm just like, oh my god, I'm so sorry.
Do, like, you think about that shit, like, later when you go to bed?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, like, 3 months later, you think back on the one weird thing that happened.
Yeah, last night, I was staying at, their house, and, this is audio, so I was staying with Will and Nikki, and I'm pointing to them now. And I closed the door, and they had mentioned that the cat might come into the room. And then I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was like, oh my god, I closed the door. Mm-hmm. What if I'm ruining the cat's routine? Mm-hmm. Like, I just, yeah. It was like 5:30 this morning, and I was like, oh my god.
And you just, like, woke up suddenly thinking about the cat. That's awesome.
Yeah. let me ask you this, though. What about, like, big things? Do you think about those? Because sometimes this is what happens to me, is I, like, all these little things accumulate, and they seem so large in comparison to, like, the actual things that are happening in, like, my, like, the real things that are, like, I have deadlines that are, like, fucking have to do. But then something like that where I'm like, oh, shit, the cat.
That's, like, I feel like those little things are, that I worry about are symptomatic of a larger self-loathing.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's, you know? I think that's just, like, how especially, like, our generation is as people.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're, like, more aware of, like, everybody else's, like, how they perceive everything. Because everything's digital now, and we can talk about anything we want with anybody, whoever we want, all the time. It's, like, a really strange thing when I was growing up. Like, you couldn't just be like, this is how I feel, everybody listen to this, you know? Like, you can't tweet it, you didn't tweet it, and it says, I'm very old, 33.
That's not very old at all.
How old are you?
27.
Okay. All right, then I don't feel that bad.
No,
I don't feel, am I the oldest person here? Let me tell you, when this happens to you, let me tell you, when this happens to you, it starts, you start to feel different, because I was like, I remembered when I was in a room with, like, and I wasn't the oldest person, I was like, man, I never want to be that guy. I am 100% that guy all of the time now, especially with, like, what we do.
But it's funny because you always bring it up.
I just, you know, it's like one of those things that I think about, you know, it's like one of those things that I think about all the time. It's like a self-conscious thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Which I have many more reasons to be instead of my age. But dude, tell us about, like,
We just, like, you had a video come out yesterday.
I did.
Tell us about that.
I hate videos so much. I hate filming them. I hate it so much. And so
why?
I don't know. I think it's because my primary motivation for making music is the writing aspect of it, and maybe the recording too, but videos are they're now so necessary that you have to do them, but it seems like it's just an aspect of being an artist that I just kind of hate.
You didn't sign up for doing that shit?
No, but it's so necessary now. Like, I've been doing this for 5 years, and I have, like, one video out or two videos out, and I filmed so many, but I generally hate them, or hate how I look, or, I've canned so many videos. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People really hate me for that.
Is it because you're in it, or are there videos that you're not in that you end up not liking?
I'm in all of them. It's usually, like, it'll take too long to edit, and then my hair is a different length, and I'm like, that's not what I look like now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's that video that came out the other night, yesterday I guess. Yeah. My hair is, like, way shorter in it, and I'm like, I hate that. That's not what I look like now, but it's at the point where I need videos, so.
What about this? So, like, you feel that way about videos. You ever feel that way about, like, when you write, like, a song and it takes forever to come out and you've moved past that, like, and you're like, that's not what I think anymore, but I have to put it out. I did that. And I think that, like, is pretty much, like, I think that's everybody who, like, has ever been in a band or an artist. Like, you don't stay the same.
Mm-hmm. That's the one of the primary reasons for me starting Wickerphase was, like, with bands. Like, I used to be in Tiger's Jaw, and with bands, it takes forever for albums to come out. It takes so long, and like, by the time the songs come out, you're already sick of them. You already feel different, you know. And so I wanted something that I could write. I wanted a project where I could write, record, and then post it mm-hmm. online.
Like
and
that's, same day.
Yep.
You and that was the same day.
That was the motivation. It's happening again now, though, where, like, you know, as more people get involved and you have to start bringing in, like, publicists and, you know, they want, like, 3 or 4 months to work on something and stuff. But I've kind of gotten over that aspect of it because I think, I don't know, I just have.
It's just one of those things that's never going to go away when I also, like, I hate all the stuff that we have because we run another company also. We run Archive, which is, like, a digital strategy company and, like, a creative agency. So, like, we do videos, we do posts for artists, and so we need all that stuff. So we're on both ends of the being, like, I wish this artist would just get this to us now, and then we're also on the, fuck, I wish we could just post, do this what we want and not have to worry about
that.
Yeah,
like, I wish we would have 3 months to do this campaign for them and make it fucking awesome, but at the same time, the artist is probably like, let me put this out. So it is kind of a...
We're seeing both sides, and it's been especially, like, anybody that's been in any band whatsoever knows that. And now bands can just record in bedrooms and just do the thing, which is awesome. It is really cool. I like that a lot of people, and that's how you started this whole thing, right?
Yeah, it still is. I'm still recording at my house. Yeah, it was all, and that was another motivation too, was I wanted to record at my house and mess around with home recording, like bedroom stuff.
So when you Are you all good with Tiger's Jaw? Like, you guys are all cool?
Yeah, I was with Brianna on Saturday. She came to one of my shows. We got pizza before. I was with Ben the day before. Yeah, we hang out all the time.
They are probably my favorite band. Like, I like I love Tiger's Jaw. To get them to play this thing was, like, I couldn't have asked for anything cooler.
Yeah, I've never seen Morgan happier.
Yeah, like, everything that I can go to that I could. And I loved when you were in it, and I loved everything. I just really like, I think in a whole, they're a very, very good band. And so, like, it's really nice that when you left, were they, like, super supportive? And
yeah, I didn't necessarily leave to do Wicca Phase or anything like that. I was just sick of playing, like, our most popular songs were songs that I wrote when I was 16.
Right.
And that's, like, when you're 23 or something, or 22, you're so much of a different person. And, you know, but people still want to hear those songs, so you have to play them. And I was like, you know, I'm just not really having fun. And again, it was taking so long for new songs to come out, stuff like that. But yeah, I left, and no, there was no weirdness at all. I mean, a little bit of weirdness just because, you know, Ben and Brianna had to figure out what to do. And we all had to kind of figure out, like, where we stood with each other. But we were fine with each other. It had nothing to do with Ben or Brianna. Or
it was just, like, a personal thing. And, like, I feel like if you come at it at that angle and you're like, this is what I feel. If you're not having fun, it's going to show. And so I think it's more important to, like, grow as a person. And if you're not, no one did anything wrong, like, then it's great. And I'm really happy that you guys are on good terms, because both of artists, you and them, are, like, they're great. It's, like, a great thing that's happening.
So you said that you weren't planning on doing Wicca Phase, like, right after you left?
I was doing Wicca Phase when I was still in Tiger's Jaw.
Okay.
My intention wasn't to leave Tiger's Jaw to put all my attention in Wicca Phase. Gotcha. It wasn't like that at all. It was really just, I was sick of playing the same songs, and I think it was starting to show. Like, I could just tell at live shows I wasn't having as much fun, and that comes across.
Totally.
Yeah, you can definitely see that. Can you ever imagine this? Like, can you imagine, like, fucking the Rolling Stones having to play the same song for 50 years?
No.
And they're, like, that's, like, the one people are, like, wanted. They've made new songs for, like, years and years and years and years. But people are like, hey, we can just, you know, play the hits. You know, like, I don't know. Like, it seems, I think we look at all this stuff and we don't see what it's like to continuously do that, and especially, like, them and artists now, like, things are so instant. Can you imagine that 50 years in, like, our generation's time is probably like 800 years? It's, yeah, like, this, it's like the time is just so much longer because we expect so much shit to happen every day. Everything's like super instant, so it's, I always wonder that, like, what the hits are gonna be like now. Like, what are our, where was the last, I think it was like in a, what was it, like, early 2000s was probably, like, the last thing we saw where, like, people put out full albums that people bought on like CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, I think probably like the last time we're going to be like not expecting hits from those bands every second, you know, or it's like,
mm-hmm.
So I don't know, but now that we got that out of the way, I just got to eat. How many times have you had to talk about this?
Tiger Show?
Yeah, like, just because...
Daily?
I feel like it's, like, one of those
but
things...
But it's okay.
Yeah, I feel like it's just, like, one of those things where, like, people... You're doing a thing.
It's something you have to get out of the way so you can move on to other stuff. And it's all... I mean, they're playing... We're playing the same festival, so it totally makes sense to talk about it.
Are you going
to
cruise up?
Huh?
Are you going to cruise up and do stuff?
Nah, probably not.
Okay.
Nah.
Yeah.
We talked about it, but we were just like, we'll feel it out, but
if it makes sense in the moment, but other than that, it's like
not something you're planning on.
You know how hard it is to add your name to a flyer?
Oh yeah.
The length of the name.
I know. And I'm so particular about that. Like anytime I get asked to play a show, I'm like, yeah, but you have to put my full name on the flyer.
Yeah.
And I saw a flyer last night for a show that's coming up where it was so obvious that they had a hard time adding
like
my
just
name
like
to the flyer.
It's just like on five.
It's way different than
everything else is. Yeah, everybody else is like a size like 15 font. And yours is like a 6.
Because we have another band playing tomorrow called I Don't Know How, but they found me.
Oh, wow.
So between them and you, it's like two entire rows. Mm-hmm. We were just sitting there like trying to fit everything. It was really fun.
I'm super, super excited for that stage. I think that's going to be really... Do you know a lot of those guys that are...
I never met them. No, like Lil Aaron, Smart Death, Lil Lotus. I never met them. I know other people in GBC know them and have hung out with them. But no, I never met them. We have mutual friends.
Lil Aaron's a sweet dude.
Yeah, he was... He reached out to me like just about hanging out tomorrow or something like that, and he was really nice about it, and I've heard people say really good things about Smart Death too.
I think everybody that is the one thing about our event where everybody is just like, there is no like real weird ego thing.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody is just like, that's kind of the thing that happened with Emo Night, is that you can be on stage with like some of your favorite artists. Like that's just the way it happens because everybody's like the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really, and because they're not playing their like own songs. They're playing like other people's songs. Like DJs, they're just playing songs that they like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's a really cool thing to see like people that you grew up listening to being like, oh yeah, we listened to this together. And now we can yell at each other together. We can yell. So it's been the whole like, it's more of an like a community like thing as more instead of like a show,
mm-hmm.
which is like what I think we're trying to make this happen. Like this, it's a huge venue, so I don't know how that is. We have to like jump through so many hoops to try and make it like as much of our thing instead of like them. They've never done something like this before, so it's like trying to convince somebody that this is like the way we've been doing it has been working for us, and it's been challenging. It's been like a really challenging situation.
I get that.
It's gonna be rad though. What do you have planned for tomorrow?
I don't know. Not much. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I know what I'm wearing.
Hell yeah. I don't. So you're one step ahead.
I just figured that out this morning. We went to a thrift store. And
which one?
Sunday's Best.
Have you been to Varsity?
Yeah.
Nikki
has been to Varsity.
It's my favorite one. I go there. I try to go there every Saturday. I go there when I'm like really upset, and then I buy a very expensive trash shirt, and it I feel better for like an hour.
Isn't there a name like retail therapy?
Yeah.
Isn't that what they call that?
Yeah. But I don't have that with anything else though. It's the only. Did you do that with that?
What? No. This was $2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the ones that I buy, I'm like, this is way too much for this shirt.
Yeah, like, but then you wear it like 10 days in a row and then it kind of pays for itself.
Yeah.
I get crazy anxiety going into stores and having to buy stuff. Mm-hmm. I get so anxious and I feel like everyone's looking at me. Like, even if I like pull something out, like just to see what it looks like, I don't know. I hate it. I hate it so much. I get so nervous.
Well, it's hard for me, I'm just like really small. I'm like a weird shape for a person of like things that like I would want to wear.
Yeah.
So I like, I'm kind of limited to just wearing like old stuff because not a lot, everyone wasn't like super fat then.
I feel like a lot of people, especially like the people who are playing the Ham on Everything stage tomorrow, have really distinct looks mm-hmm. too. Like Smart Death, Lil Aaron.
Lil Aaron has like bright green hair.
Yeah, and I think Smart Death has bright red hair.
Okay.
I don't have a look like that. Like people don't really.
But I feel like because you don't, you stand out almost more because, you know.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah, no one knows what Doves looks like. It's like this recurring thing, like on the GBC subreddit, like people will find a picture and be like, I think this is him, but like, wait, I don't know.
How come? Do you do that on purpose?
I don't think he does it on purpose. I don't think he puts himself out there as much. And like, I don't really either, but he does it even less. Like there's not a day that goes by when people don't message me and are like, what is Doves Instagram? It's every day. It's
serious. Your Instagram not even public or no? That's awesome. Yeah. I envy that.
It's really good. You're doing the opposite of what everybody would probably tell you to do. which is something that we like. Yeah. It's like, do it differently. Fuck it. Who cares?
He's doing a DJ for me though tomorrow. I do have that plan. We figured that out this morning.
That's
so
awesome.
I have a DJ.
How long are you staying here for?
Until Monday.
You're just in and out.
Yeah, but I'll be back out. Doves and I are working on a new album. He's producing my next full length. So we kind of, I've been like demoing the songs to a click track and then sending them to him, but we're going to have to get together a few times too. And I'm playing another festival in February, so like I'll be out here for that.
Out here?
Which yeah, one? The Nature World night.
Oh,
out.
Cool. That's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
At Union?
Yeah.
Is that Union?
Regent.
That's
Regent.
It was at Union, right?
It was at Union.
Yeah.
It's three nights this year, too.
Wow, yeah, no, I saw sneak peek of that thing. It looks really good.
We were with Antoine last night, too. And,
what did you guys do?
We went to Cha-Cha.
Is he cruising? Is he cruising tomorrow?
Classic.
Yeah, he said he was.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, well, I mean, I think, is there anything else like that, like, you want to talk about? Because I know a bunch of shit happened, but a lot of stuff has happened in the last couple weeks that's been, it's been a rough one for, like, I think a lot of people.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, it's been weird. Like going back to like apologizing for stuff all the time, I mean there's a lot we could talk about with Gus and stuff like that.
But it's like really like up to you on what like is cool or not, because
I saw your post on your Instagram on how you were kind of apologetic in the way of, you know, I don't know how to say this in the right way.
And was I feel like heavily edited by my manager, because before that it was, I think I said I'm sorry about 20 times in it, and he was like, stop apologizing to your fans, like they're not going to hold you accountable or anything.
Yeah.
But I was even like I have that video that came out, right? And like that was supposed to come out, you know, probably 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And like merchandise that I'm just sitting on. So I was going to post this like really long Tumblr post about like, hey, I'm really sorry, but like I have to release new merchandise soon. And like, I'm going to have albums coming out and songs dropping. And I'm sorry, like if it's not an appropriate time, but I don't know if it'll ever be appropriate. You know, I don't know if it'll ever feel appropriate. But my manager was like, you know, again, stop apologizing to your fans. Like, you know, they'll understand. But it's just like, obviously very heavy. I've never really had to deal with anything like that. It's also kind of weird because I'm from Pennsylvania. I still live in Pennsylvania. And so there was a little bit of a disconnect between me and the rest of mm-hmm. Goth Boy Club, just because I'm not always there, mm-hmm. you know, like they're always hanging out and working on songs. So it did seem like a little less real to me, just because I wasn't there, you know, when it happened. And I think a lot of people were. Cold Heart was there, Horsehead, you know, MacNet, Fishnark. So I felt guilty about that. But man, I mean, people, it seems like it's being handled pretty well, and like no one's gonna forget about Pete, you know, ever. So that's great, and I'm happy to see that. We were watching the memorial. They're like live streaming it from New York.
Yeah, it's today, right?
Yeah, we were watching that before we came. And it's cool. Like, I don't know. I mean, people love that dude, and they always will. So that's great.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was it hit a lot of people like very, very hard.
Yeah.
It hit a lot of people like really, really, really hard. And, mm-hmm. It was hard for me to like put, I mean, obviously like if you've ever met the dude, he's a fucking sweet guy.
I know.
Like he's like a very, very sweet person.
That's all I kept saying. He's such a sweetheart.
And, so when he did our night, you know, you have this dude who's like a larger than life at the time, being just how you are and how everybody that we hang out with is, and you realize that they are a person, mm-hmm. you know, and they're a person. And so after you have that and you hear something like this, it's a little bit more real.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a real thing. And, age is the thing, you know, and especially all the kids that like really, really follow you guys very hard I hope at some, I don't know, it made everybody made me feel really, really fucking weird and sad. And
me too.
And yeah, we were all super fucked up about it that day. And, you know, I met him one time, but for some reason we were all just in the weirdest, like it was just a dark day and we couldn't really figure out why, you know, it would affect us that much.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was just a really shitty situation.
This might lighten the mood a little bit, but I remember when he was doing when he was DJing for you guys,
mm-hmm.
That day in like the Goth Boy Click group chat, he was so nervous and he was like,
I remember,
everyone has to come, like what am I gonna do?
I remember.
He he canceled it.
I know.
He was on Instagram.
He was like, I'm not doing it, I can't do it. And then,
yeah, it was really,
I remember that.
But I remember I had to like go get, they like came in the wrong entrance and they came in the echo entrance. Yeah. And I had to like go walk everybody like back, like to those, like I was like, man, it's going to be totally fine, dude. Like, it's going to be like everybody's going to be pumped, like, no matter what. Like, you could do nothing,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's just happy, mm-hmm. you know? And that was, like, I think he was like, all right. And then once we got in, I think he was like, this is all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So, it was one of the cooler moments that we've had. And also, like, looking back, nobody will forget it.
Yeah.
And I think it means a lot, and I think he did a lot for music and a lot for like opening people's eyes and like right now.
Me too. He was like, it was weird because he was like a pop star, but not manufactured at all. Like, you know, he wrote all of his songs, like, and like that image, like he came up with Lil Peep. He was Lil Peep, and it wasn't like just some industry bullshit. Like it was real. Crackers, is that?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Oh yeah,
do whatever you want. I don't know if this is going to be on like NPR.
Yeah, no, like the JK. the same people that come listen to this, so it's like we're all on the same fucking page.
Yeah,
same.
But yeah, he was like a real dude. Like, you know, that was the coolest thing about him. Like, he was legitimate. It wasn't like he turned it off ever. Mm-hmm. That's who he was, and he created it. Yeah,
I've dealt with a lot of stuff like that in the last, like, I stopped doing everything
because
I had something like that happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so I see it a lot, but it doesn't mean that it gets any different.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I think it's way more, especially with somebody who's like a public figure. I think it just, especially with the age of everything, like, I mean, Stephanie is like 19, right?
20.
Whatever. 70 is like...
So, like, way older than 19.
Yeah. 20. Yeah, so she's, like, it's, like, 19, and, like, your boyfriend is, like, close with all those guys, and it was, like, a real... I think a lot of people that age didn't really have to think about that yet. And,
mm-hmm.
and it made... I think it made such an impact in that world that, oh, you know, I think that dude is going to change a lot of people's lives for the better.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Which is really, you know, it's like how are you supposed to say that? You try to look at the positive and the light in the situation.
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't know.
So I wanted to ask you about basically just the whole lineup on the Ham on Everything stage. Mm. A lot of people are calling you guys like the future of emo. You know what I mean? And like, how do you feel about that? And do you think that's true?
To a degree, yes. I do think it's true because, I mean, a lot of us came from, I mean, that's what we listened to growing up, right? And it, I don't think anyone could have predicted that that's the sound that would come from, you know, a group of teenagers listening to emo and, you know, we're where we're at now. I want to hate it. I want to hate that label, but at the same time, I'm like, I guess it does make sense.
Because and a lot of people are like, it's like rap, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Do you think people just associate that because like it started with SoundCloud, and that was where?
I think it was. I mean, like most of the beats are like rap beats, right? Or like at their heart, they're, you know, what we're doing wouldn't be possible without like roots in rap, obviously. But I mean, the way I've approached it and the way I still think about it is like, you know, we can take the foundational elements of trap or whatever, right? And bring those into alternative music or emo music to the point where it's not a thing anymore. You don't have to say like, oh, I'm an emo rapper or something like that. You can just say I'm an artist and it won't matter. And I think that we're finally at that point.
Yeah, it's, at some point it's just music.
Mm-hmm.
Like the very core of everything, it is just music.
Yeah.
And I think people are having a hard time placing it because they want people.
Everyone wants to, you know, create a label or genre or
We're so used to being like, I like this type of music and not this type of music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think it's like it's hard to place you guys because you created a new style of something, which is like it's always hard to break a mold and it's always hard to do something new. And when you do something new, it's hard for people to understand it. And when people don't understand stuff, they get mad.
Get so mad. I think, even beyond that, when we have certain artists, DJ Emo Night, that aren't necessarily emo, people are like, well, this person's not emo. And it's like, okay, but they grew up listening to it or they're influenced by it. So how are we supposed to say, no, you can't come here, you know?
Who's to say who is and who isn't and, like, what they listen to isn't, right? Like, Machine Gun Kelly is, like, obviously, he's, like, a pop star and a rapper, but, like, this dude grew up listening to the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a lot of his style is influenced by the stuff that he grew up listening to, and this is, like, how he wants to be as a person. And it's, like, so people are, like, he's on the radio, not this. It's like, who's to say who is and who isn't for anything?
I agree.
Yeah.
What were some of your favorite bands growing up?
All right, you're going to hate me for this, but I really didn't listen to a lot of emo. Well, all right, here's the thing.
That's
when I was like in like 6th and 7th grade, I found out about Bright Eyes. So that was like that was like so important to me. And I dug so deep. Like I was any Saddle Creek Records band I was obsessed with, like buying their t-shirts every week and stuff like that. So like, The Good Life or Azzy Ray or, you know, there's a bunch. But I liked Bright Eyes a lot. I'm trying to think of who else, like, would have been
like around that
early
time.
Yeah, because I was listening to punk music, too. Like,
yeah, it doesn't have to be emo. Yeah, just whatever.
Here's when I first got into music, it was, like, Puff Daddy, Mace, Notorious B.I.G., Busta Rhymes. Like, when I was in elementary school, buying the CD singles at, like, Suncoast Music or something like that, like some chain. And it was that, and then, but I couldn't buy the albums because they were like parental advisory, and my parents were like, no. So
Ricky's parents broke a limp. Didn't they break a fucking Limp Bizkit?
I even had the edited version. My mom still broke it.
She broke it. Yeah, have the edited version.
Yeah.
Jeez.
She was just like, this is terrible.
She broke Significant Other. Yeah.
So I liked Limp Bizkit and stuff too.
Yeah, totally.
And then like, quickly got into Blink 182, probably 5th or 6th grade, and then after that, it was Saddle Creek Records stuff. Bright Eyes was the biggest, and then from there, I was like, I heard about indie, but I didn't know what indie was. So I was like, kind of just reaching, you know. I was going to the library and taking out CDs and like ripping them on my computer, which is how I found out about the Smiths. Like, I never heard of the Smiths, but I would just take out 20 CDs at a time and listen to them. So that's how I got into them and loved them. The Microphones were a really big influence on me when I found out about them. That was a little bit later, maybe high school. And they're still, like, Mount Eerie is my favorite band of all time. And it's weird how they, like, Mount Eerie is kind of, like, a lot of us like him. Like, and I always thought that was weird because it sounds nothing like what we're doing. And I always thought he would hate us. Like, Peep or NetArb sampled a few of his songs for Peep. And I was like, I can't imagine that he likes this. Like, this is probably, you know, I don't know. Mount Eerie is, like, one of the biggest influences of all time. I did like some, like, I liked Sunny Day Real Estate. I liked Mineral. But I couldn't really, I never got into, like, scene music or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought the guys looked cool. Yeah. You know? And I liked, like, scene girls or something, but I never listened to, like, I can't even name this. I don't know. I don't even know who I'm trying to name.
I think
you're like Under Oath.
There you go. I mean, I never listened to them, but that sounds right.
Yeah, meet him tomorrow.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's probably everyone who's playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about, like, I mean, The Used? Like, did you ever listen to The Used?
Like, the singles.
Okay, yeah.
What about you? Like, since you, because you produce a lot of this stuff, so, like, you can cruise over here. You don't got to stay
Get over here.
He likes to stay anonymous, it seems.
Yeah.
Well, you can't see anybody.
You want to sit down there?
I don't know. Am I supposed to talk into a mic?
Yeah, you can talk into the mic. Like, so you, like, do all the producing. So, like, what was your, like, influence growing? Like,
So, like, a lot of the same stuff. Definitely Microphones was a huge influence. Bright Eyes was, like, the earliest one. But then I did have that scene phase.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Under Oath was huge.
Yeah.
I used to go to, like, a local church that would have shows, and it would, like, they would be the only place that I could see hardcore music, mm-hmm. because it was like, well, it's Christian, so it's okay, like, whatever it sounds like.
Right.
Oh, yeah, because Under Oath is a Christian.
Yeah,
yeah, like, yeah, totally. Like, yes.
Early stuff, early stuff is, like, very, yeah, that's why I didn't listen to it.
Oh. Right. Yeah,
but it's the best.
Yeah, that's why I just didn't, I was like, not for me.
Yeah, I was like, really young at the time and impressionable.
Yeah.
So, like, that was a whole phase, and then I kind of grew through music out of that into, like, I don't know, a lot of other genres, but.
He's playing a sick set tomorrow.
Maybe.
I'm sure it's going to be great. Like, I'm really...
Well, like, Adam from Ham hasn't told me whether or not I'm playing
it. Oh, just do it.
Oh, no, you are.
Guess what?
You are.
Adam is telling me that he's playing, but he's not telling him that he's playing. Like, it's really...
You know why? Because Adam right now is... He does this thing on Saturdays where he walks along the beach and, like, listens to an album and eats a breakfast burrito. So he's probably just busy doing that.
He's literally busy doing, like, a weird personal blog.
Yeah.
Like, his whole fucking day.
Yeah.
And then he goes to, like, a comedy show and sees, a rom-com.
Like, he has this whole thing every Saturday, and that's why he's not letting you know, but that's he will after.
Actually, Adam and I and a couple other people are doing something I think that was because of all the peep stuff, because we're trying to get, like, Narcan into, like, venues and, like, awareness of like, we're doing this. So we're doing, like, next week we're doing, like, a presentation for, like, a bunch of, like, venue owners to, like, get that stuff in and sort of, like, educate people and, like, venue owners, and then also the, like, people who go to venues on, like, what happens if something like this happens. And so, you know, in a lot of ways, hopefully it'll be a positive influence on, like, some shit.
Adam is the most positive person
in the world.
Normally I would hate that. I was saying this last night. Normally that personality type, oh, I would hate, but he is genuine, so it's, like, it's the best thing.
It really is.
It's not a put on at all.
It's not. It's just, we've known him for so long, and they've just been a part of this for so long, and we, like, support each other in, because, you know, they do a lot of different events, and, like, Adam genuinely knows about more music than anybody I've ever met. He, like, is no bullshit. Like, mm-hmm. he's no bullshit. And it's, and, like, sometimes I have to, when I show him something that he's never heard of, I'm like, Because I really like this band Code Orange, and they have like another band called Adventures, and you know them, Adventures, and it's fucking awesome. And I was like, Adam, have you heard this? It's like the same people in the band, which is awesome. And he had never heard of it, and I was like, oh, I did something. I was like, I did a thing.
I remember when I was in Tiger Shell, the first time we played Pittsburgh, we played with Code Orange. Mm-hmm. They were Code Orange kids, and they sounded like Choking Victim or Leftover Crack. Yeah. Like, they were street punks, and they were selling like back patches and stuff like that. And I was like, this is the coolest band in the world. Like, and they weren't big or anything like that. I was like, they're going to be huge because like they're just so good. And I did not think they would be this big. Like, I had no idea.
They are up for a Grammy.
Yeah, a Grammy.
Really?
Yeah.
Best metal performance, right?
They're up for a Grammy. Damn. Yeah. I fucking hope they win it. That would be so awesome. It's just really cool. I think a lot of this, we're in a really cool space for music. Because there was that time where, it was a couple of years ago, where everybody's like, I'm just going to like go to a rave and like go to like, and not like a DJ, like this like weird, it was very strange. And now people are like, we like instruments again. We like people who are like playing instruments again. And it always comes back around. And I think we're in a very cool time because the generations of kids that are making the music like everything. And like nobody's like bummed on one thing or another. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I was in high school, people would be like, I definitely don't listen to this. And it is not cool to listen to this. Everybody's like, this is good. Everything's cool. Like, I think it's, especially you guys, like 20 years old.
20.
Sorry. Yeah, you guys are like very, very good about being like open-minded and not being like super stubborn about shit. And the people like right before, I don't know, what are you, generation what?
X?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. No. Are you generation X?
I think so.
Cool.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, it's fucking weird. And like, we had, it's really cool. So they're like super open to shit and go to like a ton of stuff that's like different. And I remember like when I was in high school, I was like, you did the things that like,
yeah, you were like one thing. Like, I only went to emo shows every Friday, like by myself, like no friends. And that was it. Like that's the kind of kid you were, or you liked, I don't know, NSYNC and Backstreet Boys or some shit.
I mean, I grew up in Tucson, so like everybody just did. There was such a small, it was like so small. Everybody was in everybody's band and everybody was friends because there was just like not that much to do.
We had a really like strange, I don't know what was going on in Scranton, Pennsylvania, but we had like a weird, I don't know, like it was just so weird. Like the Menzingers were 2 years older than me, right? And like their younger brothers were in my first band, so that's how I knew them. And I went to middle school with them and high school, so that's how I knew the Menzingers. And obviously they are like super popular now, right? Like Tiger's Jaw is from Scranton, Captain We're Sinking is from Scranton, like all bands that are like, you know, signed to cool.
What was that last one?
Captain We're Sinking, do you know them? They're on Run for Cover Records.
Was that something that I should listen to?
Yeah, they're very good. Really, really cool.
Okay.
They don't play that often, but they're so awesome.
You couldn't hear what that sounded like, but it was an aggressive.
It was awesome. It was a sound. It was kind of a tight sound.
Yeah, it was.
Kind of like a bass wobble.
Yeah, it was cool.
Right, a little wobbly.
Yeah.
That was sick. You want these headphones?
No.
Okay.
All right, well, I mean, fucking, this went probably longer than I thought.
That's my
fault. No, it's totally cool. We just like enjoy talking to you.
Yeah,
like we were like, whenever we go into these things, especially today, we're like, fuck, we gotta get down and like go see all this shit and like do all this stuff. But we really wanted to spend some time with you because we like you a lot, and we're really appreciative of you guys being just so fucking cool.
Thank you.
And like, you know, changing a lot of the musical style, like pretty much changing music. That's awesome. Like, I think it's gonna be like, I think it's gonna go down in history as like, this is a time.
Is that James L. Harper?
That is thing. I think so. He's so handsome.
So our third business partner, TJ, planned a bunch of shit, but he didn't show up. So like someone came to get clothing and I didn't know. And now this guy's here and it's great. He's like, I'm not going to go, but I did things that you have to deal with.
Yeah. But anyway.
Anyway, we're really stoked for tomorrow.
Me too.
And we're
going to. If you see us running around and we're just fucking going crazy, stop and like just give us a hug and tell us to calm down.
Okay.
And like,
tell
just
us
be
that
like,
we'll all be okay.
Yeah, just because we're gonna be doing that, and
I'll probably be crying.
Yeah, one of us is gonna. One of. I think most people there, it's just gonna be like just like that. So
I think people are gonna cry during Dove's set. To be honest, it's so good. Or they're gonna be like front flipping off the stage.
Or both at once.
I'm going to be crying, FaceTiming my girlfriend, front flipping off the stage.
Hell yeah.
Just try and do that all three at once.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
And screen record it. All right, dude.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And everybody, tomorrow, Wicca Phase, Springs Eternal, Ham Stage.
Night Day.
And Doves. now and Doves.
Thank you,
dude.
Okay, goodbye.
Ever heard of Stoicism? Chances are, if you have, you've heard of Stoicism with a lowercase s and not Stoicism with an uppercase s. Lone wolves, no emotions, antisocial behavior, cold indifference. All that is Stoicism with a lowercase s. Stoicism with an uppercase s is the ancient Greek philosophy and virtue ethics framework that centers on service to the cosmopolis, to include your family, friends, community, and planet, and the development of a good moral character. My name is Tanner Campbell, and I'm the host of Practical Stoicism, a 3 times a week podcast teaching Stoic principles and concepts to anyone interested through the exploration of texts and deep dives into various moral topics. You can find Practical Stoicism where you're already listening to podcasts by searching for Practical Stoicism or by going to stoicismpod.com. I invite you to give it a listen today. You just might like it.